How's everybody doing today? Well, that is a good song. You can't beat that song with a stick. If you could, it wouldn't do no good. That song is good because God is sweet. Because he's so sweet because he did something that half of us wouldn't do. He gave of his own. He gave his son. So all of us could be here today. I'm glad to see y'all today. And I'm glad I'm able to share the word with y'all again. Like the song is, I hope the word is sweet to y'all, so you're able to go out and just let people know and encourage them to come. Because that's the main thing, is this ambassadorship that we've been going over, and you can use it so many different ways that you can actually, every day you can come up with a new message on ambassadorship if you really wanted to be honest with you, because there's so many different ways you can use it and apply it to your life. So it's really something that a year, we think it's a long time, but this year is almost done. I was just looking at my son, and I looked. I was like, well, little Jay, that boy 19 years old. And I'm like, dang, before you know it, Jalen going to be up there. Well, I'll be an old man. I already call myself an old man. And people look at me like, you a baby still. I say, well, I wish I felt that way. But but before we get started, I usually like to start it off with something funny to get everybody laughing. There was a preacher and his wife, and the wife always made coffee for the preacher every single morning for his whole entire life. So one day she got to thinking like, you know what? You never make coffee. You never do that. You never do anything. You just come with your cup. And so the wife one day, the husband tells the wife, he is like, well, look, you can find somewhere in the scriptures, I'll make coffee for you for the rest of your life. You ain't never got to make coffee again. So the wife gets to thinking, and she's like, in the scriptures, okay. So one morning, the preacher gets up, his coffee cup is empty. There's no water in the pot. There's no nothing. And she's sitting at the table, and she's like, you got your Bible? And he is like, yeah. And he's laughing because he think he done outwitted her. She's like, turn your book to Hebrews. So she didn't have to make coffee anymore. So. That's all right. So, title is that, don't tell somebody what they can't find in the world. But today, since we're going to get started on a lesson, if I was to choose a topic for today, I would choose, do you recycle or have you been recycled? And the funny thing is when I came in, Sister Lee saw me coming in with all these bottles and cans and everything else. She was like, you picked up something on the way to church. Are you recycling something? I was like, no, this is not recycling. Just it's for my lesson. It's so beautiful how things work out. Because when you recycle things, man has put a monetary value on things that we use every day. Get this can. It tells you right here if you redeem it. Some places say 10 cents. Some places say 5 cents. Get this bottle. Same thing. 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever. But then you go. It goes up. Same thing. But then you have these things, which is a little bit older. I think this bottle came around when my daddy was born, 1930s or something like that. But it's an old bottle. And when you look at these bottles, this is the type that when you're done with it, you reseal it, you reuse it. This is a very old bottle. I got some old Pepsi cans that I was trying to find, but I couldn't find them. So we'll use it with this. But when you look, you see these bottles, and you just look at them like, okay, it's something that we use on an everyday basis. Right. Man has put a value on these. Right. And sometimes we go according to what man has done in order, and we start living by what man has done. Right. We don't really understand it, that that's what man has put on it. See, when I picked my title, do you recycle or have you been recycled? See, when I usually hear the word recycle, I think about waste or trash or something that has little to no value. But the part I have been missing out on all this time was it has to be destroyed in order to be renewed. The same thing with reconciliation. See, when you look at this can of soda, which I just showed you, you probably pay about $1 for the can of soda. Probably. For the water, $1.50, or you buy it in a case now. Go to Costco, you get about 50 bottles of water for $10. But see, when you go recycle, you only get about 5 cents back for the recycling. So is it worth your time or effort to even recycle? And that's the problem we have nowadays. Some people look, when you look all in the ocean landfills, they're full of bottles. They're full of trash. They're full of everything. This planet is getting so messed up. Man has said, let's go to Mars. But guess what? The same thing gonna happen there. It's just on a matter of time. See, you have to use gas or you have to take your time to get there. You have to use your gas or your time to get there. And we all know time is important, and to some of us, it's priceless. But before we go any farther, let's look up the meaning of recycle, which is the process of converting waste material into new material to sort and collect rubbish or trash in order to treat it and produce useful material that can be used again, or better yet, to reuse, reprocess, reclaim. But the best part I love is to save. See, when you look at recycling, and why I ask you, have you been recycled? Because it's basically a question I'm asking you, and it's part of my title. If you've been recycled, which means you have been washed off, the old is gone away with, it has been destroyed. There's no more looking back, there's looking forward. There's no more, it says, whoever touched the Golgotha pound, look at Bath, is not worthy. So when you look back and you dwell on the past, then are you really worthy of your ambassadorship? See, when you look at these bottles, people just look at it as waste. But like I said, if you don't recycle it, it's going to be in the landfills. It's going to be in the oceans. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be polluted. And people are going to be trying to run to different places to get somewhere cleaner. But like I said, history only repeats itself. See, when I looked at these bottles, I said each of them is worth 5-10 cents a piece. But when you come to the last bottle, this one right here, it's actually worth more than 5 or 10 cents. It's worth some money because of the age of it. But see, man has put that value on this. If I'd have took it to a recycling place, they would have gave me 5 or 10 cents for this. And if somebody knew what they were looking at, they probably would have been like, here go a dollar, and probably went and sold it on eBay somewhere. See, man has done this and has pulled the wool over all our eyes. We need to understand that a soul is worth more to go out and seek and save it than what we think of it is. Some of us walk past people, don't say anything, leave them alone and say, you know what? They'll figure it out one day. An ambassador doesn't do that. An ambassador gets all the trash and everything he can to possibly do what he has to do. But see, I'm going to bring out two important parts of this message today. The first will be coming from Luke chapter 14, verses 24. Once again, that's Luke chapter 14, verses 14 to 23. And then we're going to go into Nehemiah chapter 1 through about chapter 5. But we're not going to read all of that, because when you looked at Nehemiah, he learned how to recycle. He learned how to reuse the materials he had. And when I get into reading it, you'll understand what I mean about that. And once again, that was Nehemiah chapter 1 through 5. And also Luke chapter 14. Verse 14 through 23. We're going to start at chapter 14. Now, this is Jesus. Somebody had told him something, and this is about the wedding party or the dinner party, however you want to read it. But I'll be reading from the Message, so it's a lot easier. So don't think that, oh, he's reading something that's not in the Bible. No, I'm reading from a version so it could be more understandable, because sometimes you can relate a lot better when you choose a different translation. So that triggered a response, verse 14, that triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed up. Yes, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to invite guests, saying, come in, the food is on the table. Then they began to beg off. One after another, making excuses. The first said, I brought a piece of property and need to look it over, see my regrets. Another said, I just brought 5 team of oxen and I really need to check them out, see my regrets. And yet another said, I just got married and need to get home to my wife. The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly, get out into the streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on and bring them here. That sounds like recycling, doesn't it? See, have you ever seen people walking around with those carts, homeless and stuff? They pick up everything they possibly can. See, they don't really understand it, but they're an ambassador to collect cans because they know that's their livelihood. When we come into this building, we need to be doing the same thing, collecting all the souls we possibly can, not leaving one out. Because a homeless man don't care if he got to dig in the trash, if he got to go in the river, he goes and gets those cans. He doesn't matter because he knows that's his livelihood. He knows that's how he's going to eat. Regardless of to buy him a bottle of whiskey, whatever, he goes and do what he has to do to provide for himself. See, we in the church get too relaxed. It's other people's job to do this. It's not my job. See, I pay tithes and offerings, so I'm doing my job. See, that doesn't amount to anything. Works amounts to something. See, because there's a, I'm going to get to a little down there because I'm jumping ahead of my lesson now. But see, when you understand this and you understand the homeless man, you can relate to him. You can see why he's pushing that basket around. You can see Christians that walk around with their Bibles at all time. You can relate to them. It's not just a show. It's because they really want to do something. But let's go further because, see, he's out there recycling because nobody wants to come. They thought they were too good. They had excuses. But see, when the servant came back and he told them, bring them all in. See, he said, bring everybody you can lay your hands on. The servant reported back, Master, I did what you commanded and there is still room. The master said, then go to all the country roads. Whatever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite for at my dinner party. See, what you got to understand is if you got to drag them, get them here. If you got to trick them, get them here. The Holy Spirit going to do the rest. I didn't say lie to them now. Look, I didn't say lie. I said trick them. Look, just get them here. The Holy Spirit going to do the rest. Trust and believe. You got to take them out to eat. Take them out to eat. Just get them here. That's our job. That's why I chose this. Do you recycle or have you been recycled? Because you got to understand when you go and do this, it's going to take something out of you. It's going to take your faith and your works to do this. Amen. Because you're going to get some doors slammed in your face. You're going to get some people that tell you no. You're going to get some people that say, I ain't being bothered with that. You're going to get some people that say, I'm an atheist. Not one person I've ever seen die or heard about when they die say, Lord, Saint, take me. They always call and say, Lord, God, help me. Right. Every single one, even the ones that denounce God. That's right. So I guess to let you know, his word said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. His word is not lying, people. In some form or fashion, they're going to admit that God is a true living God. Regardless be from their deathbed, regardless from their last breath, they're going to do it. But see, let's keep on going. See, we can be just like the people at the wedding party that make excuses, but God would always find replacements. If you don't believe me, look at Luke chapter 19, verse 40. That's right. But when you start to get a better understanding of recycling, the excuses fly out the door and the ambassadorship takes over. See, Luke 19, 40. See, when excuses fly out the door, you'll stop counseling classes. You'll stop neglecting women's fellowship because you understand that regardless who shows up or who participates, it's your job to recycle anything that comes across your path. Because just like the dinner party, there will always be someone willing to show up. Even if it's just you and yourself, the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. See, we need to understand it's time to stop playing. It's time to get real about this. See, remember, Jesus looked at people Jesus looked for people, and that's what we should be doing. He met them at work to call them. If you don't believe me, Matthew 4:19, Jesus went to their fisherman. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In John chapter 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus met Zacchaeus, and when he was in a tree, if you follow Jesus' example, we should never have a problem or cancellation. Amen. Jesus went to find these people. When he went to the well, he met her there. when he went to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was looking for him, but guess what? He didn't know Jesus was looking for him.
Amen.
When he went to Matthew, Luke, John, all his 12 he picked, even the one that got him crucified, Judas, he wasn't looking for them. So don't say, oh, they my enemies, they my this and my that. Jesus stood by Judas' side and would die for Judas just like he died for all of us.
Amen. That's right.
Didn't think twice about it.
Not at all.
When it stood there firmly, because he understood what he was here to do. When you understand that you're an ambassador, you have no problem doing these things.
Amen.
See, back to when I was talking about tithing. See, we think tithing takes the place of works.
Yeah.
That's just a part. You can never repay. I don't care if you came in here and gave $1 million. You can never repay what Jesus Christ went through.
Amen.
I don't care if you gave $1 billion. If you was Elon Musk and came in here and said, you know what? I'm going to build you a solar church. You can never repay what Jesus did. You never could. Ever in a lifetime. Ever. But see, in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, it talks about the woman. Once again, as Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, he talks about a woman who gave her 2 cents. See, you had all sorts of rich people that was given bags of gold, bags of dollars, bags of all this stuff. They were just throwing it up there. Jesus was sitting at the offering table. The woman came up with her last 2 pennies, put them in the offering. He said she has given more than all of them combined.
That's right.
You know why? Because she gave from her heart.
That's right.
See, when you give from your heart, you understand about being here. You understand about doing class. You understand about everything because it's coming from the heart.
Amen.
You understand your ambassadorship more. See, it's not about, I know when people used to come and say, well, what happened today? You know what I tell them? You should have been there to see what happened. I ain't being smart or nothing, but you got a car, you got a gas, and you got a telephone, don't you? Look, you could have called me and I could have got you there. Call me ahead of time and you got away. See, we can always do that. See, it goes back to that. But see, another little side note. There was a lady and her husband. And this lady will wake up every morning, every single morning, and she will look out her window. She will look out, and this other lady, her neighbor, would always hang her laundry on the line. So the husband and her would always have breakfast, and she would always tell the husband, look at her sheets. They're so dirty. They're filthy. They're nasty. She don't know how to wash. I'm going to show her. This went on for years. The husband never said anything to her. Every morning she do the same thing, complain. So one morning she tells her husband, I'm going to go over there tomorrow and teach her how to wash clothes. I'm going to teach her the way it's supposed to be done. The husband's sitting there listening, didn't say anything to her. He gets up around 4 o'clock in the morning, does what he does. The wife comes in there. She sees a gleam of light coming in, so bright she can't even watch it. She looks at the lady's sheets and she is like, those sheets are super white and they super clean. The husband said, if you stop complaining and start doing some work and would have washed the windows, you would have seen it was our windows that was dirty and not her clothes. See, she was so busy focusing on other people's business instead of her business. It was her windows that was nasty and filthy and she didn't even recognize. She about to go and get into somebody else's business. The woman's sheets were so white, she could even look at them. See, sometimes it's better to leave people alone and mind your own business. Our job is to just tell them a word. If they don't want to listen, the Bible said, dust your feet off and leave them be. You ain't got to beat it in your head. You ain't got to have no hatred in your heart. So you can be like the woman, but see, she had a good husband that cleaned up because he could have easily kept his mouth closed and let the mess go on. See, we need to be like it says, wise as a serpent, but soft as a dove. See, we need to know when to speak and when not to speak. We know when not to get people upset. See, now we're going to go over to Nehemiah because this is a part, the good part where we get to recycling. See, Nehemiah chapter 1:3. They told me the exile survivors who were left there in the province are in bad shape. Conditions are appalling. The wall of Jerusalem is still in rubble. The city gates are in cinders. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, God, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, loyalty to his covenant and faithful to those who love him and obey his commandments. Look at me and listen to me. Pay attention to this prayer of your servant that I am praying day and night in intercession for your servant, the people of Israel, confessing the sins of the people of Israel. And I'm including myself and I and my ancestors among these who have sinned against you. See, what happened is it was overtaken. Jerusalem was overtaken. It was in ruins. Gates, walls, and everything was torn down. But see, what I like about Nehemiah prayer, he included himself in this.
That's right.
See, he didn't just go and say, you know, sometimes prayer goes, well, I pray for this, I pray for that. And we forget to say, Lord God, forgive me for my sins while we saying this prayer.
Amen.
See, you need to understand, Nehemiah included himself and he had no part of this. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer.
That's right.
But you know what? He mourned. He felt their pain. Nehemiah understood this. See, when you see people that are lost in the world as your ambassadorship, you understand their pain they're going through because they can spend an eternity in hell. See, it's no longer about, oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm in the right place. I don't need to worry being concerned about them anymore. You got the wrong attitude. You need to understand that Nehemiah included himself because he wanted to make a change. And when you want to make a change, it comes from your heart. You really want to do this. You desire to do this. You stop worrying about who's going to show up, who's going to be here, because you got to make heaven your home.
That's right.
Amen.
It would be nice if we can get under one person and all go under that one person, but it don't work that way.
It does
not work that way. Each of us going to stand before him.
That's right.
Good, bad, all. Even my son going to stand before him.
Yep.
We each going to carry our own cross. And some of us going to be too heavy to carry. So we need to understand this. But let's get back. It says, back to Nehemiah. It says, we treated you like dirt. We haven't done what you told us to do. Haven't followed your commands and haven't respected the decisions you gave to Moses, your servant. All the same, remember the warning you posted to your servant Moses. See, there's a saying, warning comes before destruction. Moses warned him. If you look at that Old Testament, they got a lot of people that warned them a lot about a lot of stuff.
Amen.
A lot of things came warnings before destruction.
That's right.
But guess what? Sometimes we don't heed the warning.
Yep.
See, we get a tutor relaxed in our days now. I can go to God and ask for forgiveness. I ain't worried about that. He can wipe my slate clean.
Yes,
he can do it. I know Jesus, he will fix it after a while.
Amen.
We live on that, don't we? No, 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 people. No, 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 no. We need to fix it now. We know when we're doing something wrong. We know when we're sinning. We know when we got malice in our heart. We know when we got bitterness. We know this personally. We can fix it. We can change it. But do we want to? See, let's go. Let's keep going. If you betray me, I'll scatter you, because this is what he told him. He said, if you betray me, I'll scatter you to the four winds. But if you come back to me and do what I tell you, I'll gather you up, all those scattered people, from whenever they end up, and put them back in the place I have chosen to mark with my name.
All right.
Jesus promises heaven, and we still probably don't even believe that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us we got a place prepared for us with gold, rose, matches, and everything else.
Amen.
We need to understand what he's really telling us, warning before destruction, because he gives us the alternate. There's a place with fire and brimstone. If you have ever burned yourself, see, I remember as a little boy, I was in the house and my mom was cooking. They was cooking hot water cornbread, which hot water cornbread, you fry it up, is delicious. It tastes good. But I was up and they told me to go to bed. And my behind running around the house, I'm running the house, and my sister, my oldest sister, had the grease and she's taking it off and she's pouring in the thing. And I bumped into her. When I bumped into her, I still got the mark on my shoulder. Till this day, the grease went through all my flesh. So I know what it means to get burnt for eternity. That didn't feel too pleasant. And that was just hot grease. That wasn't even the fire. That was just what the fire used to heat up. So imagine if you really get the fire. See, that little bit taught me something. Listen, go to bed when they tell you to go to bed, and it won't happen to you. See, God gives us warnings, but do we really heed the warnings? Are we just taking this message like every other message? Okay, we heard you. All right, good job. See, we need to make a change, people.
Amen.
We can enjoy down here. Don't get me wrong. We can enjoy down here. Psalms tell us.
Yeah.
Psalms lets us know.
Yeah.
He will show us our goodness while we down here.
Yeah.
I'm not quoting it right, but I'll get the scripture for you in Psalms. But we can enjoy down here. We can have a good time down here. But guess what? We got to remember who comes first. Our Lord and Savior comes first. See, after he told them, he said, but seeing God is so good, he gave them a chance. Just like he said, I'll restore them. They just turned back from their wicked ways. How many times did Israelites go back and forth? It was like a fish flipping out of water. They kept flipping back and forth. We want to make a calf. We want to do this. Soon as Moses left, then Aaron going to come talking about, I don't know where this came from. Well, you done took the gold from him. You know exactly where it came from. That's why your punishment was so harsh. See, when you have an understanding, you can't get mad at your punishment. I can't get mad for getting burnt on my shoulder. I can't get upset at nobody but myself for not listening. See, when you get something that happened bad to you, you can't say, oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? You know why it's happening. Come on now. Be real with everybody. You know exactly why you're going through trials and tribulations. And I don't care if you are doing good. The Bible says you will go through trials and tribulations for his name. When you got in this pool, when you got in this water, it tells you that. It's just like getting a house. When you get a mortgage, and all those people that have balloon mortgages, when they lost all their houses, you should have read the contract before you got it. Then they want to tear the house up on the way out. For what? It was a balloon rate mortgage. All you have to do is read your contract. The banks didn't hide nothing from nobody. They told them the honest God truth. It's going to go up. Well, I'm paying $50 a month. $50 a month only going to last for so long.
That's right.
It eventually was going to go up. But see, they got upset. See, some of us get upset when things come upon us when we think we live in a righteous life.
Well,
Job should have been upset with the world.
Sure.
But Job said, you know what? I know who my father is. I know one day he's going to bless me. And guess what? He blessed Job's life better than ever at the end. Let's keep going. See there. See, well, there are your servants, your people, whom you so powerfully and impressively redeemed. Oh, master, listen to me, your servant prayer. And yes, to all your servants who delight in honoring you. And make me successful today so that I get what I want from the king. I will as his cupbearer. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It was the month of Nisan in the 20th year of Xerxes, the king. At the hour for serving wine, I brought it and gave it to the king. The king asked me, why the long face before his presence? Why the long face? Are you sick? Or are you depressed? It was the month of Nisan in the 20th year of Xerxes, the king. At the hour of serving wine, I brought it in and gave it to the king. I had never been sad faced in his presence before. So he asked me, why the long face? I copied it down twice. My fault.
That's
okay. It says, OK, here we go. You are not sick. Are you not depressed? That made all me more agitated. I said, long live the king. And why should I be depressed when the city where all my family is buried is in ruins and the city gates have been reduced to cinders? The king then asks, so what do you want? Praying under my breath to God, to the God of heaven, I said, if it pleases the king and if the king thinks well of me, send me to Judea, the city where my family is buried, so that I can rebuild it. The king with the queen sitting alongside him said, how long will your work take and when would you expect to return? I gave him a time and the king gave his approval to send me. Then I said, if it pleases the king, provide me with letters to the governor across the Euphrates that authorize my travel through Judea. And also an order to Apathy, keeper of the king's forest, to supply me with timber for the beams of the temple fortress, the walls of the city and the house where I'll be living. Then I said, if it pleases the king, provide me with letters to the governor across Euphrates that authorize my travel through Judea, and also to the order of Asher, keeper of the king. I'm copying this down twice. My fault, people. So basically, in a nutshell, he asked the king for this. When he asked the king for this, the king not only gave him this, he gave him more than he asked for. He even gave him an armed platoon to go with him. When he gave him this armored platoon as an escort, he sent the cavalry with him. So he gives him the letters. He gives Nehemiah the letters. He gives him the letter to go, and he lets him go. Nehemiah goes on his way. But see, there's always going to be somebody that's against you. See, when you go out to this world to seek and save the lost as an ambassador, you're going to have those that are against you. You probably have some of your family members saying, they ain't going to listen to you. I was just over there partying on last night. They ain't going to listen. But see, it's not for them to discourage you. You got to do your job regardless. See, you ain't going to save everybody. The Bible tells you there's going to be two working in the field, and one going to be taken and one going to be left. But it's your job to do your part. See, when Sandoval, the Hyatt and Turnabout, the Ammonite officials heard about this, they were very upset, angry that anyone would come to look after the interests of the people of Israel. And so I arrived in Jerusalem. After I had been there 3 days, I got up in the middle of the night, I and a few men who were with me. I hadn't told anybody what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal with us was the one I was riding on. Nehemiah knew what God was about to do for him. Nehemiah was going to a place to start recycling. Nehemiah didn't care. See, he didn't let other people get him down. He didn't let the outcome get him down, because in his head, the outcome could have been death. Because you got to understand, these people wanted to kill Nehemiah. They wanted to destroy Nehemiah. They didn't care. They wanted the Israelites to stay in ruins. They wanted all this to be done. But see, God had already said, you know what? It's going to be a great city. God had already done this. God had put it in his heart. See, when God puts something in your heart, you do it. You don't just sit there. Nike took the best slogan, just do it. They didn't turn back. They didn't do anything. And they still doing it to this day. We got to understand, we need to just get up and do what we have to do. Amen. We need to make a start somewhere. That's right. We need to start recycling where we can. See, because when Nehemiah was faced with all this, he never once thought about his life. He never once thought about what other people was going to do. He walked out on faith. Yeah. When you walk out on faith, that takes a lot of understanding.
Amen.
That takes a lot of courage. See, some people you ain't going to be able to touch. Some people ain't going to be able to understand why they don't want to change.
That's right.
It's not for your job to understand that. See, I have an older son, but I don't try to understand. All I do is pray for him. Mm-hmm. My job is to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
My job is when he calls to answer the phone.
That's right.
My job is to speak to him regardless of what he's doing.
That's right.
Because guess what? My punishment ain't nothing compared to God's punishment.
That's right.
My job is just to keep him in prayer and do my best. When he calls for something, if I got it, give. Not to hold it over his head and say, I told you so. Because
right.
Eventually he's going to stop calling.
Yeah.
Eventually he's going to do what he want to do.
Right.
See, when you understand this, you have a better understanding what to do and how to deal with people.
Right.
See, I can understand this because I'm dealing with my own son. So you can deal with those people out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But see, let's go on. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Then I gave them my report. Face it. We're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burnt up. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem and not live in this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. They said, we're with you. Let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. You go to Nehemiah chapter 3. It gives a recall or a log of who all did work. Family started to work with Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Tribe started work with Nehemiah. Everybody started to work with Nehemiah because he went out on faith. These people didn't have to do anything. They could have stayed at home.
Right.
Super Bowl Sunday come, everybody stay at home. Well, guess what? A DVR going to record the game regardless.
Okay.
So you got to understand what's important. If you do your job, it's going to touch one or two people. Regardless, my message could touch one or two people. Guess what? The angels in heaven rejoice.
Amen.
It's like the man said, you have 99 sheep and one go astray. You leave the 99 and you're going to find the one.
Amen.
The lady who lost the one coin, she lighted the candle and looked all night for the coin.
Yep.
And she rejoiced more that she found the one coin. See, we got to understand, it's about the one. You ain't got to get a lot. You ain't got to get a handful. It's about the one. If you get one in your lifetime, you are truly blessed. Yeah. You need to think about it, because that one could turn into two. That two could turn into three. This man once said, would you rather have a penny that doubled every day or $1 million? I said, I'd rather have the penny that doubled every day. Some people say, what are you talking about? That's foolishly. Well, if I get a penny that double every day, before the month is out, I'm already at almost $100,000. Just think about it. If you double a penny every single day, just double it. Do the math. Second day, I'm getting 4 cents. Next day, 8 cents. It's going to keep doubling every day. I'm going to have more than $1 million. I'm going to have up in the billions of dollars. But see, that's what it's about. Going to touch one person to get them to tell somebody else. And that's what it's about. See, Nehemiah went out on faith and he did this. But see, let's get to the last part where we find out how he recycled. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was worried and was in great anger and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brother and the army of Samaria and said, What are these feasible Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice themselves? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish, seeing they are burnt? When people see this worthless stuff right here, sometimes we just walk over it. Sometimes we throw it in the trash. Sometimes we don't even care about it. Sometimes it ain't even worth 5 cents. But like I said, this bottle's worth more than anything up here because of the age and everything else. But that's what man has put on this. Man has put about $100, $200, whatever it's worth. But guess what? A soul is worth any monetary value, people. It don't matter if they stink, they smell anything. It don't matter if they disrespectful, whatever. It's our job to go out there and seek and save the lost.
That's right.
Nehemiah took some burnt trash and recycled it. He made the wall. When Nehemiah made this wall, he did it in 52 days. Go on and read the rest of it. You read chapter 5. Nehemiah went. Israel started complaining because they were paying taxes. They couldn't afford. They had to go borrow. They had to do anything to eat. Just go home and read Nehemiah. When they went home, they went out without food. Nehemiah went to the other people and said, let's stop. Let's clear their debts. Let them have no more taxes. All their debt was forgiven. They were able to eat. They were able to flourish. It was a man who just went to a college last week. He paid off $40 million worth of student loan debts. Didn't blink, didn't say nothing. He said, you know what? They need a chance to live. They need a chance to survive. $40 million is a lot of money to pay for kids he didn't even know. But you know what? He said, I'm paying for all your student loans. You're debt free. You have no excuse. When we got in this water, we have no excuse. God took all our sins. God washed us clean.
Yeah.
We don't want to get filthy again because we want to play in a pig pen.
Amen.
See, I'll give it to you how it is. Because at the end of the day, it's up to you to change. Because the burden's going to be on you. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. I didn't understand. It's time to get on the right horse. It's time to get back on track, people. Because we all here. We all alive. I don't see no mummies. We all alive in here. We all moving. We all got breath in our body. Stop living to what man says and start living to what God says.
Amen.
Like I said, all this stuff, when you recycle, it becomes new.
Yes, sir.
This right here is still here. It's recycled. All they did was just go and destroy it. And now look, it's got brand new juice in it.
Amen.
You won't even know the difference. Came from some glass that was trash.
Amen.
Now look at it. We need to understand, people. We need to start recycling.
Amen.
We need to get on our job. We need to understand.
Right.
Like I said, God gives us understanding. God gives us everything we need.
That's right.
Like I said, you never know. You might go save somebody that say, you know what? You done did a change in my life. I want to pay your house off. You can run into those people like that. If you don't believe me, Bill Gates did it. He paid off all his neighbor's house because they were complaining about the dust because he was building onto his house. And they said, it's too loud. He's like, you know what? I'll keep your mouth closed. I'll pay all your mortgages. And these were multi-million dollar homes.
Yeah.
You never know who you can run into, people.
That's right.
Now's the time where we offer, if there's anybody that need prayer, there's anybody that want to get baptized, there's anybody that don't want to have to worry about this, anybody that want to recycle right now, anybody that feel that just need prayer, because like I said, we all need prayer. Anybody that just want to just have a feeling in their heart, now's the time to come and do this. The water can be filled. You can be baptized. You can come out a new creature. You ain't got to worry about the cares of the world anymore. Like I just said, we got the old and we got the new. You can all be recycled today.
Amen.
Be blessed.